2 this morning. Luke chapter number 2. And there's part of me, I'm not going to do it, because I know I don't want to usurp authority over any head of the house. I'm not going to do it. There's part of me, though, I would take every one of the young folks in their teens, and I'd set y'all up here on the front row. Part of me wants to do that. I'm not going to do it, but there's part of me that wants to. And I say in your teens, I mean it's those of you from, say, 8 or 9 all the way up into your teens, because we've got some folks here who are teenagers. And so, but I'm not going to preach on teenagers this morning. Lord willing, the next two Lord's days, I'm going to be concentrating on the young people. Okay? So I want you to look in verse number 41 of Luke chapter number 2. Verse 41, Luke chapter number 2. We're going to read verse 41 down through 52. Verse 41 down through 52. We're going to be listening to this particular passage this morning, all right? Verse 41 says this, "Now his parents," the his refers to Jesus, "now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." So that was a custom, every year. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up until this passage in verse 42, every year to the Passover. So Jerusalem every year. Verse 42, "And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not, did ye not know, that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man." Father, we do thank you this day for your blessings. Thank you for your mercy. And I want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness that you've given to us. Lord, the good day yesterday, the safety on the road, traveling, not just ourselves, but all who drove in, those who are driving back out to Oklahoma, Caleb and Anna as they make their way to Tennessee, and those folks who came back this direction. Lord, we sure are grateful that you have blessed us. And Lord, as we enter in this time today, Lord, we've looked at Sunday school, we've studied things on prophecy, and Lord, now as we spend time in this section of the Gospels, Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would open up the hearts of the young people. Lord, we know that if someone is old enough to be saved, they're old enough to be spiritual. And Lord, as we enter into this time today, we do pray that you would do a work in our hearts, and I pray that you'd speak to every one of our young people. Lord, I know we've got folks in their teens, those folks who are preteens, those who are a little younger. Lord, I pray that you would work in their hearts today. Lord, I pray even now that you'd speak to their hearts in their direction. And I pray, Lord, that you would work out of the text today the work of God in their heart that you want done. And we'll thank and praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I would jokingly say that yesterday is to your advantage because we got in late last night and tired and all. I even thought to myself today's going to be a short message, but I'm not going to bother telling you all that because you know how that works, okay? It's all right. I don't want you to accuse me of being a politician, all right? Don't want to do that. But what I want to do this morning, I want to consider Jesus this morning. And again, I'm looking for young people to be listening today. Okay, so Dylan, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you. Looking at you. And Charity, I'm looking at you. Jason, Kenny, I'm even looking at Hannah, Savannah, though they're past this a little bit, and I'll hit them next week. Not hit them, but I'm going to address them next week. Now, I might, it just depends on how they're acting, amen. Miss Sarah, Beth, amen. That's right. Y'all are next week, amen. Amen. Isaac, we'll give you the day off today, buddy. It's okay. We'll give you the day off. We won't preach to you this morning. But you listen, okay? All right. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. That's right. But as I look at the text, there's so many things we can draw out. And typically when we look at the text, this skips forward a whole lot of time from the time where Jesus is brought in at 8 days into the temple to be circumcised. Verse 41 covers roughly 12 years. Every year they go up to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover, as was the custom they were supposed to. Verse 42 says, and when he was 12 years old. So we skip 12 years of the life of the Lord Jesus. Someone says, boy, well, I sure would like to know more about the Lord Jesus' life so we could study his life. And of course, there's part of me that says, that would be wonderful. But we know so much more of his life already and don't do a lot of what he's already told us to do. We don't need any more to incriminate us because we fail at living out what Jesus has said. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. That's right. That's right. If you're honest, that's an honest amen. But as I look at the text, most of the time we hear verse number 49 preached out of. And I'm going to read verse 49. And he said to them, how is that you sought me, wist ye not? The old English word wist, did ye not know? I must be about my Father's business. And typically we hear messages along the line of Jesus being about his Father's business even at a young age. And even as a young man being in the service of God, and he's called to suffer and bleed and die for humanity. And at 12 years old, he's already begun the work of his life, so to speak. But I'm not going to preach out of verse number 49 today. I'm not going to preach out of that today. What I want to do is I want to preach on this thought. Here's my title. Here's my title. So, Brother Allen, you don't have to ask me a word about my title after it's over with today. And here it is. Jesus, the model child. Jesus, the model child. If I were to look at any of you young people in here today and ask your parents, is so-and-so a model child? They would look at me and say, of course they're model children. Models of what not to do. Models of rebellion. Models of me wanting to pull my hair out. Some of them would say that. But let me tell you this, honestly, young folks, listen to me. There are no model kids. No model children. Except for one. Amen. And we're going to examine his life today. It's because I want you to look at this. Young people, here's what I want y'all to do. I want y'all to have your Bible open. Those of you, if you know how to read, I'm talking to you. Get your Bible open. We're going to read a verse together. You ready? We're going to read a verse together. I want you to read this with me. I want you to turn to verse 42. Young folks, going to read this together. All right? Now, if you're young at heart and you want to read this, you're welcome to read it as well. But I'm looking for the young in not just, well, heart, but yeah. Amen. Glory. Amen. I've already got an amen out of Eli. He's ready to go today. Amen. All right, so young people, let's read this together. Ready? Look at verse 42. Okay. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. So I want you to look at me today, and I want you to answer a question for me. How old is Jesus? He's 12 years old. Attaboy, 12 years old. Now, how many folks in here are 12 years old? Anybody 12? Anybody 11? Anybody 13? Anybody 14? Amen. Jason, how old are you? 13. You didn't raise your hand when I said 13. I'm going to whip you after service. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I can't hear. I'm picking at you, buddy. All right. Now, so we got 14-year-olds, okay? Let's see, we got 11, 10. How many, anybody here, 10? 9? 8? All right, Charity's 8 years old. All right. And Kent, you're 9? Amen. All right, I knew that. I knew that you were close in there. All right. Amen. So here's the thing. I want you to tell me how old Jesus is. He's 12 years old. Now, I'm going to tell you, Jesus is the model child. He's the model child. So, let's look at the text again, okay? Let's look at the text. Y'all ready? All right, so look at verse 43, and y'all don't have to read it to me. Y'all don't have to read it. I'm going to read this. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, what are the next three words? The child Jesus, that's right, very good, tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Now, let's stop a minute. So how old is Jesus right now? 12 years old. He's 12. All right. Now I want you to look at verse 43. What does Luke, the Gospel of Luke, how does Luke describe Jesus in verse 43? When they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus. The child Jesus. So listen to me. We're talking about not a grown man, but a child.
Well, I'm not a child.
Well, the King James Bible calls you a child at 12 years old, so you take it up with God. Amen. Amen. And then here's what happens. Teenagers come along and said, stop treating me like a child and treat me like an adult. And then when you begin to see how adults get treated, you please treat me like a child again. I don't want to make those decisions. Adulting is not easy. You mean I have to get up that early? You mean I have to do these things? If you want to live here, you know, happily you do. That's right. Amen. Amen. Or you could do like the poster said one time and said, hey, move out, get a job, pay your own bills, do everything you want on your own terms while you still know everything at 13 years old. You know, that's right. Amen. So who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. And watch this. Jesus was a what? He was a child. Listen to me. Even Jesus was a child. But I want you to hear what I'm about to say. We're going to read about the child Jesus. But Jesus, though he is a child in our text, is not childish. As our terms today. The Bible here says the child Jesus. The Greek word that's translated child here does not refer to social standing, but it refers simply to age. It refers to age. So we're talking about someone who's a young person, a young people, if you will. One of the young people. I'm looking at a bunch of children today. And by the way, when something, well, just be careful about calling us children. Remember the folks who died in the wilderness? They were the children of Israel. And a lot of them got dead when they were old people. They were still considered children because they were the offspring. But here's the thing. So I'm looking at Charity. Alexis, I didn't see you. You're hiding behind Brother Artie. You stop that right now. You stop that. Alexis, how old are you? 7? Oh, good deal. I'm going to talk to you too. Praise God. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. So, we're talking about the child Jesus. Blaze, how old are you, buddy? I forgot about you being back in the back. 15. Hot dog. We're not going to leave you out of here. Amen. In fact, you going to be here next Sunday? You need to be here next Sunday because I'm going to preach to you next Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to preach to you next Sunday and every teenager too. And we'll go ahead and get Ashley and David while they're here too. Amen. 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 Should I preach to Ashley and David? They need it, don't they? Amen. Now let's stop a minute. So Jesus is a child. He's a child. But Jesus is not acting childish. Okay? I want us to look through here at the verses. And I've got my notes up here, but let's just kind of walk through the verses. Let's talk together today, all right? Let's look at this. Verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Now, here's what that means. Joseph and his mama head back north to Nazareth. So watch me here. Here's Jerusalem right here. Here we are. Here's Jerusalem. Mom and Joseph head back north to Nazareth. There's no interstate. There's no, Yeah, no penny rail, because I came up the penny rail. I didn't know the penny rail turned 69. I learned something new yesterday. So there's no highway. There's no US 40. There's none of that. I mean, we're talking a walking journey unless they were able to ride or come in a wagon. But they're heading back up north. But what does Jesus do? What does the child Jesus do? What does it say? He tarried behind in Jerusalem. I want you to listen to me right now. So let me ask you this question. So mom and dad, let me just put this in perspective. So mom and dad are at the wedding where Caleb and Anna getting married, okay? And mom and dad take off, but you stay behind in Madisonville, Kentucky. Now some of you are like, yay, vacation. Let me ask you a question. If your mom and dad went somewhere and it took them 3 days to get there, would you want them to leave you behind in town while they took off by themselves? Okay. So, Kenny, how would you like it if dad and mom took off and left to go back to Oklahoma to visit folks, but they left you at the house by yourself? How'd you like that? You would not like it. Okay. Amen. Amen. Now, Jason, how about you? Would you like that? And you're how old? 13. Okay. All right. Dylan, would you like it? Just as long as it wasn't for a week. Okay. All right. All righty. Amen. 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 No, I'm not Art Linkletter, just for you older folks. Don't you worry about that. All right. Charity, would you like for mom and dad to leave you in a place for a couple of days, leave you by yourself? Kind of? Okay. With nobody around, not Hannah, not Sarah, not anybody, not Buddy or Annie. Well, not Buddy, but Annie or Patches or anybody. And you're at the house by yourself. Would you like that? No. Okay. All right. That's all. I want to put that in perspective. Okay. All right. Now watch this. Jesus is... How old is Jesus? 12. He's 12 years old. Watch this. Joseph and mom leave town, but he stays in Jerusalem. Listen to me, folks. He's by himself. Jesus is by himself. There are some things that I see out of Jesus, listen, at 12 years old, that I wonder if I were to ask your parents or even come down and ask you, do you have these characteristics at 9 or 15, 11, 13, 7? 7 and 9-year-olds, no, probably not. It's okay. Not yet. But you folks who are in your teenage years, you ought to have some of this. So watch this. So Jesus tarries behind in Jerusalem. And it talks about verse 44. They didn't know where he was at, so they turned back and find him. Verse 46, it came to pass after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, bulls, hearing them and asking them questions. So before we get to this verse, let me tell you a couple of things that I want to say about Jesus. Number one, Jesus was old enough to exercise responsibility at 12 years old. 12 years old. Some of you all don't even take the trash out when your dad and mom tell you to take the trash out. Mom or dad ask you to clean your room. You can't even do that. Some of you all can't get your homework finished when mom and dad tell you to finish your homework. Some of you can't get out of bed early in the morning to get your schoolwork finished like you're supposed to. Let me ask you a question. Let's pretend that Jesus is living in 2021. Would Jesus take out the trash? Preach, preacher. Hey, man, come on. Hey, man. Would Jesus take out the trash? Would Jesus have a clean room? Would Jesus be able to get up early? Talk to me. Yeah. So why is it, young folks, that a lot of times you can't do simple things? So, well, I'm not a model child. I know that, but I'm trying to help you become more like Jesus. Jesus exercised responsibility. Okay? So when mom says, do something, you do it. Amen. That's right. When dad says do something, do it. You're looking at the old-fashioned preacher who's preaching on Facebook, and I'm going to say this, that the Bible says that if it's necessary that we are to use a modern phrase, apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning. Yeah. Brother Randall Morris talked about one of his kids, and he said we would have a business meeting. I would moderate, and he would make the motions. So I've not heard that one before, but I know exactly what that's like because I've been in a few business meetings like that myself. Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And by the way, when my dad ran the business meeting, attendance was mandatory. Whew, help, Lord. So I'm going to ask you a question, young folks. Mom and dad ask you to do something. Why can't you go ahead and do it? Now, no, none of the parents in here have said, hey, preach on this because you know I've been preaching through Luke up to this point. We're going to be dealing with young folks and teenagers next week. And if any of you lay out, I'm going to come to your house and I'll preach it to you. Amen. Amen. I'll stand on top of your Xbox or whatever PS3, 4, 1994 you got, stand on top of it and preach to you. Amen. So number one, I see that Jesus exercised some responsibility. Young folks, listen to me. When your mom and dad give you things to do, listen to me, they're helping you become responsible. Why is it that we've got to take out the trash? Well, listen to me. When you take out the trash, it's not, why do they always ask me to do it? I'm not their slave. I don't know. Some of y'all, I don't think any of y'all would be that unintelligent to say something like that to your parents. Because if you did, I probably would be preaching a funeral. Listen to me. Now, I want you to think, I mean, honestly, when you take out the trash, listen, that is a meaningful, contributing something you can do in your house. It's got to be done. It's a job that has to be done. Dylan is a weird kid. He likes to mow the yard. That's just weird. You still like mowing yards? See, I love that. That's good. That's a good weird, not a bad weird. That's good. When I was a kid, my dad would say, go outside, take the go devil. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And split wood. I was the crazy kid. Brother Jerry, I enjoyed splitting wood. I liked it. Because I could just, you know, take my frustrations and my anger out, whatever it was, and just split that white oak, split that ash, split what, and then just split it. I mean, just have it, red oak, I'd split it all. Have a great time. I enjoyed splitting wood. So me and Dylan, we're both kind of weird, okay? But I want you to think about it. When your parents ask you to take the trash out, they ask you to wash the dishes, they ask you to vacuum, that's not a slave job. That is actually something that is contributing to the betterment of your household. You're helping mom and dad. They're giving you a responsibility, giving you a job. And what's going to happen one of these days, your boss man at work is going to give you some small, meaningless task. But when you do that small, meaningless task for 3 months, for 6 months, it just might be that you're the fella that he goes on and picks on you to do the more important job because you were faithful in just a little bit. He's going to let you be faithful in a whole lot more. If you're responsible over those small things, God will give you responsibility over the little things. Amen. So number one, I see that Jesus is a young man who could exercise responsibility. I want you to look in verse number 46. Actually, I'm just going to do this. So they find him in the temple after 3 days. Well, I'm just going to tell you, Jesus probably just didn't magically appear in the temple after 3 days. He probably had to do a couple of other things. He probably had to sleep. And I'm not being disrespectful to our Lord when I say this, but he was a growing boy, so he probably had to eat. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, when Caleb and Josh moved out of my house, my grocery bill was cut $100 a week. Help us, Lord. That's right. That's right. Some of y'all are like, Lord, let them get married at 15, you know, type. Yeah, I know. No. Amen. Amen. So Jesus had to find a place to sleep. He had to find something to eat. Amen. And watch this. I know he lived in a different time period, but he had to interact with people. So I want to ask you all a question. If mom and dad were gone for 3 days, could you find something to eat? And I'm not talking about setting snares in the woods. I mean, you're at the house, you've got a full pantry. Could you find something to eat? Could you lay down and go to sleep? He wasn't scared. And by the way, I don't want to read too much into the text, but Jesus wasn't scared in the middle of the night. Amen. So, hey. You think the boogeyman was going to come try to get Jesus? He tried it later on down the road. It didn't work for him. Amen. So, number one, I see he's exercising some responsibility because he's by himself, but he had to take care of himself. Young folks, look at me. You ought to be able to put on a pan of water and make a bowl or make a pan of macaroni and cheese to help mom out with supper. Amen. Now, none of y'all say, now, if any of y'all go home, turn the stove on while mom's taking a nap and you nearly burn the house down, it's not my fault. I'm just telling you what you ought to be able to do. It's mom and dad's responsibility to let you know when you're able to do that. Amen. Don't touch the knives, none of that stuff, till mom and dad show you how to. Okay, all that stuff. But here's the thing. We're having a little bit of fun with this, but I'm being serious. You ought to be able to help. You ought to be able to help contribute. Hannah's 14 years old. The gal makes bread better than many women I know. Yes, she does. You know why? Because she's worked at it. She's worked at it, and it's good. And I have told her so. Amen. You're welcome to go to Outback Steakhouse and get that dark bread. I'll just take Hannah's bread because it's just as good. Praise God. Amen. Yes. So here's Jesus. He can take care of himself. He can find something to eat. He's able. Watch this. He's able to stay by himself. He could be left alone without getting into trouble. Jesus could be left alone. Look at me now. Jesus could be left alone without getting into trouble. His mom and dad didn't constantly have to stand over top of him, watching what he was doing, because they were afraid he was going to go mess something up. He was going to go get into mischief. He was going to go get into places he wasn't supposed to get into. He was going to look at things he wasn't supposed to look at, go find something he wasn't supposed to be doing and get into that. Jesus did not have those characteristics. You say, we're sinful people. I know we're sinful, but we're considering the model child right now. You ought to be able to exercise a little bit of responsibility. Watch this. Dylan, you ought to take the trash out without having to be told the trash needs to be taken out. That's a mark of maturity and responsibility. When you see the trash is getting piled up, the first thing ought to be is, man, that needs to go out. You ought not to be told that. If the dish drainer is full of dishes and need to be dried, don't wait on mom to say, go dry the dishes for the fourth time. I ain't telling you four times. I'm telling you once. Amen, hallelujah, oh yes, preacher. Yes. Amen. Right. Amen. My children love me, don't you? You love me, Cherry? Cherry? You love me? Okay, very good. I don't want to put Hannah and Sarah on the spot. I know they do. I know they do. But a mark of maturity is doing a job that needs to be done without somebody having to stand over you and telling you it needs to be done. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. Sometimes adults have trouble with that. Amen. Sometimes adults do. I can say a lot on that, but I'm just going to smooth right over because I'm not preaching the adults anymore. I'm preaching the young folks. So number one, I see Jesus as someone who exercises responsibility. But number two, we're moving right on into this. This is part of Jesus exercising maturity. Jesus is an example of responsibility. He's able to do adult jobs, if you will, take adult responsibility. But I'm seeing maturity. I want you to look with me in verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, watch this, they found him where? In the temple. You mean he wasn't down at the park? You mean he wasn't in the arcade? You mean he wasn't in Ben Yehuda's house, his cousin that lived in Jerusalem, playing Xbox? I mean, those cool games they have, you know, where you drown Pharaoh in the Red Sea and you beat the Philistines and you get extra lives, you know, Moses comes back and does all this stuff again. That's the way it would be if they had Jewish video games like that in the day. Jesus wasn't playing video games. And listen, there's nothing wrong with recreation. Nothing wrong with going to the park. I like to spend time outdoors. But what's Jesus doing? Jesus is sitting where? What's your Bible say? In the temple. What I see is a young man of 12 years old who is mature enough, listen to me, to have a spiritual appetite. When y'all come to church, why do you come to church? Because mom and dad make you come to church? Maybe. Maybe. Now, when you turn 12 years old, watch this. Jesus didn't go to church, let me use it that phrase, when he was 12 because he had to. He went because he wanted to be there. I can show you a young man right now, public school graduate, spent so much time on video games. The boy, yes, even though he is past the age of adulthood, the boy is so socially awkward. He cannot carry on a conversation. Why is that? Yeah. I bet his thumbs are ridiculously strong. Yeah, and he probably has carpal tunnel. That's exactly right. But here's Jesus. He is 12 years old. He has spiritual appetite. So Jesus, when given a free choice, a free will choice, if you will, to do anything he wants, where is he at? He's in the house of God. Now listen to me. There are times I like to go camping. I like to go to the mountains. I like to get out. I like the outdoor. I enjoy that. There are times I just want to go out to the garage and tinker on something, whatever. So we all have those things where we've got to get away a little bit. But what the Bible's telling us here is that Jesus, as a 12-year-old boy, had a spiritual appetite that he was willing to go his own self of his own free will and get filled up. Okay? So for some of you, do mom and dad have to pull and prod and get you to move on Sunday morning to get you to come to church? I'd hope not. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you were at their bedroom door at 7 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, and you're knocking on their door, "Hey, mom, dad, come on, we got to get up. It's time to go to church. It's time to go to church. Hey, let's go to church." It's a good thing I'd be laying in bed if they did come that, because I'd fall over. But that would not be bad. If next Sunday morning they decided they wanted to, it wouldn't bother me a bit. So I see a young man who's mature enough to have a spiritual appetite. Okay? Look here, look at this. He's sitting in the midst of the doctors. That word doctor does not mean physician. It means a teacher. Okay? The word translated doctor is a teacher. Watch this. Both hearing them and asking them questions. Now, there's no accident, I want you to listen to me, there's no accident that Jesus is said to hear first and ask questions afterward. I have been in conversations with teenagers who know it all. You have too. They know everything. They'll run over you trying to tell you something. Now, if I'm talking one-on-one to a teenager, talking one-on-one to somebody, I expect them to talk because I'm wanting to carry on a conversation. Okay? But when you're in a group of adults and the teenagers start to tell you how it is, you're looking at not people who are mature and able to converse with adults. You're looking at someone who's immature, didn't get a participation trophy when he was growing up, did get a participation trophy, all mad about it, and he's going to tell you how he feels. But here's what I want us to see about what Jesus did. He's hearing the doctors, watch this, and asking them questions. Not only does he have a spiritual appetite, but he's got a spiritual aptitude. He's able to carry on, look at me now, he's able to carry on a spiritual conversation. So if I look at a 12-year-old boy, Jason, I'm going to pick on you, okay? Can I pick on you? You're dressed in camouflage. I might miss you, okay? So if I ask Jason, a question on the weather. Jason is our resident meteorologist. I mean, he knows what's going on. I mean, he's the weatherman, if you haven't figured it out. But if I were to ask Jason a question about his Bible reading this past week, at 13 years old, I would expect Jason to be able to say, "Yes, sir, I read this passage this past week, and here's what it was about." And you might, he's not going to get every T crossed. He's not going to get every I dotted. But Jason will probably be able to carry on a spiritual conversation with me about it. And then also will be able to say, "What does such and such mean?" And he'll be able to pick something out in there that he can ask a question, let's say, to his dad or his mom, "What does this mean?" So young folks, here's the thing. At 12 years old, I'm seeing a young man who is able to carry on a spiritual conversation. That's what I'm seeing here. Watch this. I'm seeing a young man who can carry on an adult conversation. Amen, an adult conversation. A lot of times, teenagers can't carry on an adult conversation. Some adults, like the young man I was talking about, can't carry on an adult conversation. There needs to be more than just a little bit of fluff in our conversation. There needs to be something important. Now, I'm not telling you have to be a political person and keep up with all the politics. I don't care much for politics. But there ought to be an understanding here. At 12 years old, what's Jesus? He's responsible and he's mature. What kind of responsibility are you exercising at 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old? What should we expect from you? There's a man, I think it's S.M. Davis, who preaches a message, "What to Expect from a 12-Year-Old. I've never read it, never listened to it, but I've heard people say it's kind of along these same lines. A young man who's got maturity, a young man who's responsible, a young man who is spiritual. Okay? Let me ask you a question, young people. How many of you in here are saved? How many of you are saved? Raise your hand up high if you're saved. Raise your hand up high if you're saved. All right. How many of you regularly read your Bible being saved? Regularly read your Bible. And I say that, I mean at least once a day, even just for just a few minutes. Let me ask you a question. Why is it that you're not? Are you old enough to be saved? If you're old enough to be saved, and you're close to this 12-year-old mark. And some of you young folks in here, you're saved at 8, you're saved at 9. There's no reason you can't read the Bible on your own. You can do that. Read a psalm a day. Read one psalm. Just one of the book of Psalms. Just read one of them. Try to memorize the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Caleb was 4 years old when he memorized that. I don't know if he remembers it anymore or not, but he was 4 when he memorized it. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." So you could memorize those verses. You could do that. How many of you would your mom and dad say they're mature, they're responsible? And how many of your folks would say they got a little bit of work to do? Now listen to me. We're all works in progress. So what that means is Sarah's not perfect. You know why Sarah's not perfect? Well, that's because she hangs around Hannah and Charity and they bother her and they don't make her. No, not because of that. The reason Sarah is not perfect is because neither her father nor her mother are perfect. We have given birth to 5 imperfect children. Okay? I say we, my wife did, but you know what I mean by that. Amen. Amen. So let's see what Jesus did. So Jesus is mature. He's responsible. Watch this. Verse 47, here's that adult conversation. "All that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." So Jesus was able to carry on a conversation with them about spiritual things. "They were all amazed what was going on." We've already read about how he said, "I must be about my Father's business." And I want you to look at verse Well, they said verse 48, Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. That's Mary speaking. He said, how is it that you sought me? Wish you not that I must be about my father's business? I want to say this. Listen to me. He was mature. He was responsible. Jesus was respectful. He didn't say, hey, woman, you old hag, here's what I'm... No, he didn't say any of that. He didn't do that. Later on down the road, he did call his mother woman because his relationship with her had changed. Yes, he was her son, but he was now working as fulfilling the will of God. The reason I have all of my teeth is because I responded yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, to my mother. Can I get a witness on that? That's exactly right. Amen. When people down south don't have any teeth, it's because they backtalked their mama and mama backhanded them. That's it. Amen. Amen. Isaac, I'm telling you, buddy, your mama's from Kentucky. You better be careful, boy. I'm telling you. We know how it goes in that neck of the woods. It's just like Tennessee. It's on. Yes. Poor Isaac, he's like, what's he talking about? But he was respectful. Jesus did not backtalk his parents. He didn't argue with his parents. He simply told them what was going on. But watch the next verse. Verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Jesus obeyed his parents. He was obedient. Jesus obeyed his parents. He obeyed his parents. And there's so much more that we're going to talk about next week when we talk about teenagers. Teenage. But I just want to ask you this morning. See, I'm glad I told you I wasn't going to go short because I've already preached 35 and a half minutes, I guess. But young folks, I just want to ask you a question. How mature are you? How responsible are you? Jesus could take care of himself. And when he had his own free choice, he went to church. He was interested in spiritual things. He'd carry on a spiritual conversation. He was respectful to his parents. He didn't talk back to them. He was respectful to them. And he was obedient. Amen. Because Jesus fulfilled Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Amen. Good job, Lydia. Amen. Amen. Let's do that again. Y'all ready? Ephesians 6:1. Let's help me out, young folks. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is... Amen. Very good. Amen. All right. Amen. Well, young folks, I love you, and I sure hope the Lord will take and use you. And sure hope and pray that He's helped you this morning. All right, Lord, we thank You for the day. Thank You for helping us this morning, helping our young folks. I pray that You'd be glorified in all that's done here today, and that, Lord, You would bless what's been said. I pray that You'd help our young folks to think on You. And, Lord, I know they're just, in a sense, Lord, they are kids. They are children. And yet, Lord, the model child we see here in Jesus should be something that we ought to aspire to help our children to attain to. So, Lord, I just pray that You'd be glorified in all that's done. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank You for Your grace. And Lord, bless the service tonight, the time this afternoon as we just meditate on some of your word to bring in tonight. And I pray, God, that You'd be glorified in all that's done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand to our feet here. All hearts and minds clear before we go.